St. John Chrysostom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, in the old days, if a man were not very educated, they would say of him, he knows little Latin and less Greek. That's because, for many centuries until very modern times, if you were going to be an educated person, why, the first thing they put you to study was not your own language, but the language of the church, which is the language of learning, Latin. And then at some point, too, once you had mastered grammar and Latin, you would usually study some Greek, which used to be the language of the educated world and the language of the church. I'm thinking of that today because of the story that I told yesterday in my sermon about how Father Damien of Molokai, who was a most saintly man and missionary, gave himself, you know, to take care of the lepers, how he wasn't going to be able to be a priest because he didn't know any Latin. And his brother, just for fun, which goes to show that sometimes as children, when you can do something for fun and it doesn't have to be a battle to the death, and it could lead to something very good, just for fun, taught him a little Latin. And he was so intelligent that he grasped it right away, and I'm sure he started studying on his own in his free time, and pretty soon he knew enough Latin and more to be able to go to the seminary to study for the priesthood, Latin and Greek. Well, you know that the Holy Mass, children, it's mostly in Latin, but it also has a little bit of Greek, and that it has some Hebrew in it too, because those are the three languages that are on the scroll, or the little sort of a sign that Pontius Pilate had made for over the cross. If you ever go outside and visit the big cross by the grotto, don't do it now because it's a little cold and snowy, but I mean, when it's a nice spring day, you could see that how we have it in Latin, and Mr. Wygant did that for us in Latin, in Greek, in Hebrew, just like in the original. Well, because those three languages were used at the crucifixion, because the Mass is the crucifixion of our Lord, represented, made present here on the altar, we have those three languages in our Mass. You know that the Hebrew, that's the word Sabaoth, which means of armies or of hosts, Lord God of hosts or armies. And the Greek, do you know the Greek part? What part do we do in Greek? At every Mass, choir sings or Father prays, Kyrie eleison, which is not Latin, that's Greek, for O Lord, have mercy. And then Christe eleison is, O Christ, have mercy. And that was such a prayer in the old, early centuries that it just came to be just said that way all the time in Greek. And it was never changed out of the Greek into the Latin. Well, I have two Greek words for you today, because of today's saint, who was a Greek-speaking saint, and he's a great teacher of the whole church, and his name is St. John Chrysostom. And the first of these probably would be, what does his name mean, Chrysostom? Why, his name is Greek for golden-mouthed. That's a nickname. Do you ever give nicknames? Sometimes we give nicknames to each other. I have to confess I'm an inveterate nickname giver, but we also have to be kindly when we use nicknames. Well, the nickname they gave him was a great compliment because he was such a wonderful preacher. Only, as we shall see, his preaching got himself into trouble, which can happen sometimes. He didn't care what people thought. He just spoke God's truth as he was inspired to do so. St. Pius X said he's the patron saint of all preachers, golden-mouthed. Well, the other word I have for you from the Greek today is Catholic. If someone asks you, well, what religion are you? And you would say, I'm a Catholic. What does that mean? Well, you'd have to go back to the Greek to get an idea of it. It's a Greek word. We profess one holy Catholic and apostolic church, don't we? That means universal. In other words, throughout the whole world, there are those who have the same traditional faith and the same Mass, the same sacraments, the same prayers and catechism. So anywhere if you went to Mexico or to Poland or to Argentina or to the Philippines, and you find someone who's a real Catholic today, they're going to have the same. And that's being Catholic. Some of the customs will be different. and the sermon will be in a language you wouldn't understand, but it's still the same everywhere you go. Only it isn't. Well, in one sense, it still is. Because in the Catholic Church, children, you see, which is universal with the same faith, the same doctrine, there are different traditional ways of having the Mass. And that's called the Eastern Rite. A week ago, when you were having the prayer for the Church Unity Octave every day, we were praying, for example, last Sunday, we were praying for the Orthodox, or those from the East, for the Greeks, for example, or the Russians, or the Chaldeans, or the poor people in Syria or Iraq, who have a true Mass, but a different Mass from ours, which is also very ancient. But most of them don't believe in the real full Catholic Church, and they're separated. They're called being a schismatic or a heretic. And we're praying for their conversion. They broke away from the Church many, many centuries ago, long before the Protestants did, before the Protestants were even thought about. And they do have a true, valid Mass, unlike the Novus Ordo, and it's quite different from ours. And their customs are different from ours. That's another way of the Church being Catholic, children. That is to say that if something is true and traditional, and it's approved by the Catholic Church and the Pope centuries ago, and it's very, very ancient, well, it's just fine, even though it's different from our way of doing things. Probably that's a part of growing up, isn't it? That you realize, well, there are different ways of doing things. And as long as it's still right, it doesn't have to be my way or the way that I'm used to. So in a sense, when you travel around the world, you'll see it different. And in another sense, you'll see it quite the same. For example, one of our priests is in one of those Eastern Rite or Greek Catholic countries are called, and his name is Father Valery, and he lives in Ukraine, very near to Russia. And so his way of having the Mass is very different from ours. And all of this is a roundabout way of saying that his way of having the Mass was written down or composed by Saint John Chrysostom, today's saint, as our Saint Pius V, right above me, he has the credit for our traditional Latin Mass. So too, many, many centuries ago, the Mass that they have in the Greek Church was written down, and partly by St. John Chrysostom, and the rest was written down in his honor. So it's still the true Mass, but it's in Greek rather than Latin. It's still the true Mass, even though they have different customs. They have sort of like a wall called an iconostasis between the people and the priest, and you couldn't see too much. And at the holy times, they shut the doors even, and the priest comes out for important parts, and then he goes back in again. And there are holy pictures called icons that are flat pictures that they use, and they don't use statues. And usually there'll be a deacon or there'll be a cantor who'll come out, and he will chant litanies. You know how we sing the Litany of Our Lady during May, or we have the Litany of the Saints on certain occasions of the year. Well, the people will mostly, during their Mass, chant litanies. And the Blessed Sacrament is consecrated, except that the bread, the same as ours, except that our bread is flat or unleavened, but theirs is a regular kind of a bread called leavened bread, and the priest cuts up a loaf of bread that has holy symbols stamped on it. Those would be some of the differences. And they're great ones for standing. They don't kneel too much except during Lent or to do penance. And so they stand during most of their Mass, and they stand to receive Holy Communion. For them, that's very traditional. And they receive Holy Communion as called under both species. In other words, they receive the precious blood of Jesus on us, as well as a little bit of the sacred host, and that's mixed together in a chalice, and there's a spoon, and you line up, and the server holds a red cloth under your chin, and you put your head back like this, and then Father puts some of the precious blood, as well as the sacred body of our Lord, the species or the external appearance of bread and of wine, in other words, into your mouth. And he uses your name and he says, the servant of God, so-and-so, receives the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the prayer that he says when you receive communion in that church. Well, I thought I would explain a little bit, too, about these wonderful customs and very, very holy and ancient ways that, too, are part of our being Catholic. We should never be narrow-minded about things, children. Your whole life long, you'll see that sometimes things are done differently. What must you be narrow-minded about? About the truth. You always have to say the truth and stay away from anyone who changes God's truth or breaks his commandments, which takes me back to John Chrysostom. That's what got him into trouble. The empress heard about what a great preacher he was in his hometown of Antioch, which is someplace in Turkey today, I think. And nothing would do but that she had to have him come because he was the most famous preacher of the day and to be her archbishop. Well, when he saw how the empress was a rather wicked lady doing worldly things and not taking care of poor people and being immodest and leading a very luxurious, corrupt lifestyle, as we would say today, he started preaching about that. That's not the way to be a good Catholic. Good Catholics aren't like that. We're just not like that at all. And she got annoyed at him. And then pretty soon, she tried to send him off into exile to get revenge, pack him off. And what happened to him was that there was a terrible storm the night that they made him leave the city. And everyone realized it was God's punishment. So he was allowed to come back, but he still always preached the truth. He was a very gentle man, and he loved, like Father Damien, the poor and took care of them. But when push came to shove, he had to say the truth because God's truth is Catholic. It's universal. It never changes. Ten Commandments are Ten Commandments. So the final straw was this. The empress, whose name was Eudoxia, she had a silver statue, like an idol, made of herself, and she put it right in front of the church of St. John Chrysostom, which was called Holy or Saint Wisdom in the city of Constantinople. And on New Year's Day, which is a holy day of obligation for us, of course, on New Year's Day, they had pagan games that were very immodest, which were like the Olympics, but even far worse, really. And they spent a huge amount of money, and everybody got distracted, and people didn't go to church. They went to the pagan games instead to dedicate this statue to the empress. Well, that was the last straw, and he gave a very strong sermon. And because he gave such a strong sermon, he got himself into trouble. And he was packed off far, far away from his city. And the soldiers were given the word, hound him to death. Be as mean to him as you can. And without actually killing him, kill him. So that's what they did. And he was in some little chapel someplace far away and lost and being treated in such a wicked, mean way when the saint, who was a martyr of that chapel, appeared to him and said, we're going to be together in paradise today, so don't worry about a thing. Because, of course, that's where we're going. It's all the same location, isn't it? That doesn't change, going to heaven. And so he said to the soldiers, well, let me put on my best vestments, because I'm going to go to heaven today. And so he did put on his beautiful, he had saved a beautiful sort of a white vestment, and he put that on, and then he died, and he went to heaven. And that's the story of the Greek saint that we honor today, children, St. John of the Golden Mouth, St. John Chrysostom. Some things are different, and it's always interesting to learn about them, and some things are always the same. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.